Erie Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And this weekend, the Bemidji Symphony Orchestra has an incredibly special event happening. Sunday afternoon, they will perform the second ever performance of a brand new symphony called This Will Be Our Reply. And the composer of that symphony is here in the studio with me, Lucas Richman. And Beverly Everett, who is the conductor of the Bemidji Symphony Orchestra, is also here with me. And we're just going to sit down and chat about orchestras and symphonies for a few minutes. So welcome to Northern Minnesota, Lucas.
Thank you. It's so great to be here.
Yeah. And Beverly, welcome back to Bemidji. I know you float back and forth between North Dakota and Bemidji.
Thank you, Katie.
Welcome back. Composing a symphony is something most regular people can't fathom. And reading complicated sheet music alone kind of makes my eyes cross, and I can't imagine understanding or writing the music for multiple instruments that would then be synthesized together to create something dramatic and inspiring and emotional. You've conducted scores of symphonies and created many of your own that have been performed all over the world. How does it come to you? How does it happen that you create a symphony?
This particular piece has been in process for about 2.5 years. And after finishing it, I kind of likened it to writing a novel. If you think of each of the sections of the orchestra as being a character, and the way that they weave their own story in and amongst the community. So it's telling that kind of story, but through notes and sounds and gestures. This particular piece, it was organized around a theme, the idea of a speech that Leonard Bernstein, the famous composer conductor, who had been a mentor to me in the last 10 years of his life, after John F. Kennedy was assassinated, he gave a speech in which he embodied the idea: what do we do as artists in the face of tragedy? And he said, "This will be our reply to violence: to make music more intensely, more beautifully, more devotedly than ever before." And because of my association with the Leonard Bernstein family, I was able to get permission to write a new work inspired by that quote. And so that was the underlying theme for this entire work.
Okay, and I know there are three sections.
Yes.
Could you describe how, I guess they're called movements.
Yes, exactly.
Could you describe how they're unique yet connect with one another to help tell the story?
Absolutely. So based on the quote, to make music more intensely, beautifully, devotedly, first movement is intensity, second beauty, third is devotion. And the process of composing along the way, you might have an idea as a creative artist what it's going to look like and sound like when you start. And then it starts telling you, no, we need to go this way. So my original concept for what intensity was to take something like Bernstein's Mambo from West Side Story and up it to 11 and just make it just this piece that was so intense. And then I realized the intensity was not about intensity. It was about the struggle against, the intense struggle against outer forces. So in the piece, there's the principal string octet kind of is a proxy to holding a certain truth, a certain idea, and all the outer forces, no matter what happens, and all the bangs and gunshots and all kinds of things that happen, they keep on with their truth and what they do. In this piece,
the octet,
exactly, and then the outer community gradually joins them again in support, and it has that kind of beautiful coming together. I actually began the composition process with the last movement, which is devotion, and I knew that I wanted to have the idea of two elements. One is the bowing, the kind of genuflection, and in the Hebrew language, there's a prayer, the va'anachnu, which is a bowing before a higher power, recognizing that there are things larger than us. And the other idea was tikkun olam, which is a phrase that means heal the world. So I actually wrote a whole poem for the sake of our oceans, for the sake of our earth, tikkun olam, for the sake of our daughters or our sons, that sort of thing. And it has that kind of healing message. And then the second movement was the last thing I wrote, because I thought, okay, great, wonderful idea, Lucas. This is great. Beauty, okay, but how do you actually portray beauty? I could have written a really gorgeous melody and said, okay, this is the ultimate in beauty, but I quickly dashed that down because I knew that was wrong. But rather to create the atmosphere of beauty and let everybody, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and let the listener add their own sense of what is beauty on top of the music that they're hearing.
Okay. So how does that work?
How does that work, Beverly?
Well, the second movement is for me, and I just want to say thank you for having us here, Katie, and it's such an honor to get to do this piece. And it's interesting because as a conductor, I approach each piece of music we do. I guess what I'm saying is I wouldn't approach this piece any differently than I would Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. It doesn't matter if it's just been written or if it was written 200 years ago. And so, and in the analysis of what we want to bring out and things like that. And so that the second movement is, it's the colors of the orchestra kind of coming in and out. And it allows you to calm down from the rhythmic, a certain rhythmic drive of the first movement, and just sort of sit back in peace and take it all in. And I think for our audience and for the orchestra too, and for all of us, it really allows that. And also, you know, so often in the exciting movements and where there's lots of rhythmic vitality, it's a visual spectacle too for our audience to see live musicians. And, you know, there'll be, I don't know, 80 people or so up there sawing away on their violins. And all of a sudden, all that calms down. And so there's not much to see. And so you can just kind of take that in and feel that and get that kind of sense of peace and beauty that's evoked by bringing out each little color of the orchestra.
Right. It is dramatic. I was able to watch performance online.
Right, with the Oak Ridge Symphony, yes.
Yeah, and it's very dramatic. And then there's a
chorus sings, yes.
Part.
Yes, the last movement, the devotion movement.
Right.
Interesting that you mentioned the word, you've said the word peace a few times, because the entirety of the second movement is based on just a little phrase that I wrote in the third movement. And when I wrote it, I thought this is like nothing else in the piece, and I don't know why it's here. And then when I was finally getting to the second movement, I realized, oh, that's why I wrote it. And it's one of those things of weird inspiration that happens 3 months prior that you say, ah, this was what it means. And in that moment, the choir says, Lema'an HaShalom, for the sake of peace. And so that phrase is actually the basis of the entire second movement, that we find beauty in peace.
Yeah. Your pieces have been performed all over the world. And I know this is just the second performance of this one.
Yes.
What is that like when you see your creation come to life, when somebody brings it to life on stage?
I'm very kind of a sappy kind of guy, and I'll cry at the drop of a hat. So when I hear musicians investing of themselves in playing my music, it is very moving. For a good portion of my beginnings as a composer, I was involved in every performance as a player or as a conductor. And it's only been in the last 10, 15 years where I've really had more pieces now premiered where I'm not conducting. And that's been kind of nerve-wracking because the idea of not having control over my new baby has been odd, but it's also liberating and extraordinary because invariably the other performing artists find much more and many different things in my music than I ever knew was there.
Ah, like a visual artist who watches people come up to a piece.
Yes,
exactly. And react to it in ways that they hadn't thought of.
Yes.
Oh, fascinating. Beverly, what is it like for you to be bringing this piece to life for only its second time?
Well, I appreciate that Lucas said that he's sappy because I am too. And I can't tell you how many times I've choked up in rehearsal, talking about what the meaning of the text is, talking to the orchestra about the meaning of the text. I think that it's just so profound to be performing this music right now in our world. And Lucas and I have been kind of keeping in touch during this process. And it's never ending. We just had this thing in Sri Lanka. You keep thinking, okay, this is going to be the one, and then we'll get a respite from this. And it's never ending. And those are the big things that are reported.
Right.
I mean, And so if we can take a couple of hours on Sunday afternoon here in Bemidji, Minnesota, and tie all this together and bring the devotion and beauty and peace and the message of this symphony, that what I was telling, I yesterday met with a student choir at BSU, and they are phenomenal, and they're a part of this production. And in one of the moments in the third movement, I said, in this moment, this isn't you performing this music. This is you pleading with God or whatever your higher power is, this prayer of healing our world. And to get to do a piece of music like that is just an extraordinary, it's an opportunity, it's a responsibility. I just can't dig deep enough into what that's going to mean to me and to the audience and the orchestra.
That's Beverly Everett. She conducts the Bemidji Symphony Orchestra, and she's here with Lucas Richman, who has composed the This Will Be Our Reply symphony that will be performed Sunday afternoon at 3:00 at the Bemidji High School. You brought up something that I wanted to ask you about. The Leonard Bernstein quote suggests that artists can and should respond to violence and troubles in our world through their art. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like artists have a responsibility to react and respond to the trials of the world?
We must do it within the capacity that best suits our abilities. Mm-hmm. I think we have the opportunity. Nothing expresses. Look. It's the arts that separates us from the animals, and we as artists are very uniquely positioned to be able to express things that many people can't. In a way, that George Abbott, the great director, said. When a character can no longer speak, the character sings. It's just that explosion of, oh, you know, you have to let something out. And I think inherent in all of us is that voice, is that music. And there is nothing like a choir singing together. The choir of humanity that stretches across the world. And when you have musicians in many different cultures expressing their feelings, their despair, their joy, at the same time, it creates a vibration that is unparalleled, and that truly shows the healing power of music. And if anything can inspire the people who can then move things along and put proper laws in place, et cetera, to do things and to say, you know what? We need this. We need this in our lives.
Yeah, that's Lucas Richman. You can see, listen, experience This Will Be Our Reply this Sunday. It's the season finale of the Bemidji Symphony Orchestra's current season. What's coming up next for BSO?
Well, I did want to mention that we're doing another piece on Sunday to complement a piece of Leonard Bernstein's called the Chichester Psalms, which I've grown to love. It's my first time to conduct that piece, too. So it's just a wonderful, wonderful work. And I love the pairing because the messages of the Psalms also have a poignant relationship to our world today, and I think ties in well with the message of Lucas's symphony. Yes, next season, The Rhythms of Life, starting this summer. So stay tuned for dates and information on that.
Yeah, you talked about that at the last orchestra concert, and I texted somebody from my seat saying, we need season tickets next year.
Very good.
So thank you both so much.
Thank you, Kate.
Go to the symphony Sunday afternoon, take your Kleenexes. I feel like it speaks on a worldview, but also if somebody has strife, right, that they're dealing with in their heart, it could also take them from that space of kind of emotions to some calmness by the end.
Absolutely. And if it's not already available on the Bemidji Symphony site, the words maybe we can put up there, but they're available. Certainly read the words in advance. But the words to the final movement, I think, will deepen the experience. So they really know, because it's in Hebrew and a lot of people don't speak Hebrew.
Right.
But the essence of the message is the same.
Excellent. Thank you both for all your contributions.
Thank you, Katie.
Thank you, Katie.
Yeah, have a great time in Bemidji.
Thank you. Looking forward to it.
Airy Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.